Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm very honored to be here today. I'm very grateful to be here. I'm honored to be among women of honor, women of integrity, women of courage, and may I say, women of enormous patience. Thank you. Thank you for everything you do. I'm here to talk about the pornography that is being made and used in the United States, and much of it is being exported to other countries around the world. Every year in the United States, hundreds of thousands of photographs are made of women with our legs spread and splayed. We are called beaver, we are called pussy, we are called bunny. In those photographs, those so-called harmless photographs, women's genitals are spread open. The lips of the labia are made to stand up, sometimes with toothpicks, sometimes with string pasted underneath them to make them look erect, and then makeup is put on them to make them look purple or pink. This is the so-called natural beauty of women that the pornographers are exploiting. And when you look at the photograph, your eye must focus on the genitals of the woman. Every year in the United States, hundreds of thousands of photographs are made of women in postures of submission and access. The women belong to all male citizens. They have no individuality. They have only names that they have taken for the purpose of being in the pornography. These postures of submission and access give men access to our vaginas, to our anuses, and in pornography, because of pornography, to our throats. The throat has become a place, a site for deep thrusting because of pornography. Every year, hundreds of thousands of photographs are made of women showing willingness to submit and an invitation to any male buyer to own and possess the woman's body. There are lesbian scenes in pornography, so-called lesbian scenes, in which there are two women, but the two women are not with each other. Each is posed for the enjoyment of the consumer. The basic theme of pornography is forced sex, rape, pain, humiliation. And there are basically two scenarios. In one, you have a woman who's a little bit uppity, and she's kidnapped. The root of the word to rape in Latin means to kidnap. She's kidnapped, she's taken somewhere to be punished for her uppityness, whether it's because she's professional, because she's dressed a certain way. She is raped, she is gang raped. And at some point in the course of her torture and humiliation, she begins to ask for it, to say, I like it, I want more, hurt me more, please, hurt me more. What have I done all my life without being hurt like this? And then the second kind of pornography is where the woman already knows that she likes to be hurt. And she begins with a smile on her face as she presents herself for rape, for humiliation, and for pain. In the pornography that's made in my country, real rapes are photographed with video cameras, and they are on the open market, sold to consumers. In the United States, pornography is made of women being penetrated by animals and objects. The animals are dogs, horses, eels, and reptile-like animals. The objects are often common household objects, tools in the house, telephones, so-called pistol hair dryers, the kind of hair dryers that you carry with you. Women are also penetrated by beverage cans in pornography, by spiked dildos, by knives, by guns, by glass. There is a genre of pornography that has women with their legs spread open and razors poised at the entrance to the vagina. And sometimes bruises and cuts are showing on the pubic area, and sometimes they are not. The pornography being made and used in the United States now includes women being urinated on and defecated on. Women and girls are used interchangeably, so that because the pornographers exploit every stereotype that we are stupid enough to have so that they can exploit it, they take white women who are blonde. In a white supremacist society, these women are considered innocent and childlike and infantile. It's the innocence that is important here. And they are shown with their legs spread and their pubic areas shaved to make them look more like children. Or you have women who are legally of adult age, who are dressed to look like children so that visually they are children. The consumer is using child pornography. And these women are posed with huge toys that dwarf them in cribs, in childlike environments. They are asking daddy to please fuck them, please. They are asking their uncles, their brothers to please, please penetrate them. And most of these women are presented for anal penetration as children. There is a pornography in my country of pregnancy in which a woman has almost come to term. And the fetus, which as many of you know, hangs very low. It's very low. Its weight makes it very low. The fetus is manipulated upward so that the woman's genitals can be seen. And she is usually shown inserting some kind of object into her vagina. And after the birth, there are hundreds and hundreds of magazines called something like Milky Tits, in which the milk of a woman's nursing breasts is used as a sexual ejaculate, and she's shown squirting it on sexual parts of other people's bodies. Pornography in the United States is one of the major ways of sexualizing racism, reproducing racism, communicating it and making it real so that people actually get pleasure from hating people of other races. In the United States, women with black skin, the skin of the woman is actually used as if it were a female genital. And her skin is insulted and sexualized to be abused. It is mutilated, it is tortured, it is hurt as a sexual experience for the consumer. And there are many kinds of pornography using black women, for instance, that would be called plantation of pain, in which the pornographers want you to believe that it is black women, kidnapped Africans, coming to the United States voluntarily because they want to be slaves. And slavery is a brilliant sexual experience for them. For them. The worst pornography, the pornography that starts where most other pornography ends, is the pornography that uses Asian women. Some of this is made in the United States, some of it is imported. This shows Asian women being hung from light fixtures, from roofs, from trees, wrapped up like pieces of meat and discarded. It is a pornography of lynching. Hispanic women are used in pornography. As I said, the pornographers exploit every stereotype we are stupid enough to believe. And so they say, oh, those women, they come from a hot climate. Therefore, they are hot. They want to be used. They want to be hurt. They want to be raped. They like it. There is anti-Semitic pornography. I was a Gestapo sex slave. I, a Jewish girl, 14 years old, walked to Auschwitz, knocked on the door, said, Herr so-and-so, please torture me. But he's busy with another little Jewish girl, so I sit down to wait. every historical atrocity that has happened to groups of people, many of whom are in this room, is used by the pornographers, sexualized, told from the point of view of the victim, but the victim wants it. There are so-called books of pornography, which is to say that they're only words. In these books, the vocabularies of sex and violence are so conflated that they cannot be pulled apart. These books are mostly about women being raped by animals and about incestuous rape. And of course, always the girl, the woman, wants to be hurt. There is a pornography of humiliation made in the United States. Women covered in filth, in food, in feces, in semen, in mud, in paint, in blood. There is a pornography of disability, in which, for instance, a mentally impaired woman is called the perfect sex object. Why? Because when you rape her and she tells, she will never be believed. There is a pornography in which the amputated parts of women's bodies become sexualized for men. That is the site of ejaculation in the pornography. Exactly where the amputation has taken place. There is a pornography of pure torture. We would like to invite Amnesty International to deal with this issue. There is a pornography of fist fucking, which is to say a hand much bigger than my own is stuffed up the vagina or the rectum of a woman. And there is a pornography of murder that says it is great fun to kill her, but the most wonderful sex you can have is when you fuck her after she's dead. There is something called skull-fucking pornography, which American GIs appear to have developed in Vietnam and brought home, which is to say that the skull of a woman, dead woman, of course, the orifices in her skull are used for penetration and masturbation. And there are snuff films in which women are slowly tortured and killed. This is the freedom that people are protecting when they protect pornography. This is it. If you want to defend it, know what it is you're defending. In the United States, we're told that you pay a price for freedom. What we have learned is that the men have the freedom and we pay the price. The way that pornography works is very important because it actually creates inequality for women in any society in which it exists and is used. What pornography does is that it sexualizes every element of women's subordination. So that if you have a hierarchy with men on top and women on the bottom, and for us that's not an abstract concept, we know what that means, it's concrete, most of us have lived it, that hierarchy is sexualized so that the man actually gets pleasure from the power that he has over women in general and individual women in particular. Objectification, the turning of a woman into a commodity, the dehumanization of her. The pornographers use that to create sexual pleasure that men get from the fact that they view us as lower and less human than they are. Submission, the fact that we are supposed to be submissive to these people who will hurt us if we are not, and often hurt us when we are. Submission is sexualized in pornography, so that submission in and of itself brings sexual pleasure to the men. And in any society in which you have a hierarchy, you have objectification of a group of people, you have that group of people being submissive, you will have violence against that group of people. And the violence will be both systematic and random. And that is what we live with. And pornography turns that violence into fun, into entertainment. Pornography creates bigotry and aggression against women. And this is a real physiological hostility towards women. It's not an idea. It's not a concept. It's not abstract. Pornography helps to create our civil inferiority. And what that means is that we do not have citizenship as long as the pornographers have constitutional protection to do what they do to us. In the United States, the law protects them, and the law leaves us to our own devices to try to survive. We have no guaranteed rights of equality. None. But the pornographers have a so-called guaranteed right of speech. And the fact that a woman can't speak because a penis has been thrust to the bottom of her throat does not figure in when people talk about a right to free speech. The first women hurt in pornography are the women in it. The prostituted women who are in pornography, these things are being done to them. Pornography is also then used on the rest of the women who are not in pornography. You should know that pornography is used against prostitutes. It's used in prostitution by Johns who say, do this. I want this. We have found it being used in rape, in planning rapes, in getting the rapist to the point where he feels he can rape. We find it used in battery. Our battered women's shelters are seeing a kind of sadism against women that they have never seen before, including women in their domestic environments tied up to be penetrated by animals, women being maimed, women being branded. We have found that pornography is implicated in the biographies of all serial killers that we know anything about, serial rapists and serial killers. We know that pornography is used in sexual harassment to get women out of the workplace, especially in jobs that have been male jobs. We know that pornography is used in our so-called free countries to terrorize women on the street. It's used in gang rape. It's used in throat rape, from which women die in the United States, men trying to do to women what they saw in the pornography. We have in the United States now the use of cameras in real rapes. So for the first time, we see a profit motive introduced into rape. And also, what you need to understand is the relationship between sexual abuse and women's citizenship, which is to say that if we are abused as a matter of course, we are not citizens. Our constitutions, the rights that supposedly we have in our various countries, do not apply to us. They exclude us. I want to say that this movement of women against pornography is a movement of the most powerless women against pimps, against rapists, against organized crime. It is a movement of incest victims, a movement of poor women, a movement of illiterate women, a movement of racially stigmatized and marginalized women. It is a movement of married women with no voice. It's a movement of women forced into prostitution or kept from getting out. And it is most generally a movement of women who have been raped. Women who have been raped once and women who have been raped many times more than once. And when you defend pornography, when you hear defenses of pornography, you are hearing a defense of a war against the most powerless women on behalf of those who use them. Now, we have rights because we insist that we have rights. Our governments don't give them to us. We take them because we want them and we need them. We have a right to the integrity of our own bodies. We have a right to dignity. We have a right to fight back. And I am asking you to fight back. Thank you. Thank you. You're very kind. I'll carry this with me. Thank you.
Andrea, you started by saying that you honor us, and I think we understand that, but I hope you understand how much we honor you. I have several announcements to make before we break for the next part of today's program. Before I do that, however, I know that Andrea needed no introduction here, but I would like to remind you of titles of her books that you may have not read, and including her forthcoming publication of essays, a collection of essays titled Life and Death. Andrea's novel Mercy is a very, very important book, as well as her books on pornography.